This is the Poetry Foundation's Essential American Poets podcast. Essential American Poets is an online audio poetry collection. The poets in the collection were selected in 2006 by Donald Hall when he was poet laureate. Recordings of the poets he selected are available online at poetryfoundation.org and poetryarchive.org. In this edition of the podcast, we'll hear poems by Laureen Nydecker. Laureen Nydecker was born in 1903 in Wisconsin. Her father was a carp fisherman, and Nydecker spent most of her childhood along Wisconsin's Rock River in the marshes of Black Hawk Island. At 18, Nydecker went away to Beloit College, but after 2 years, her mother began to go blind, and she returned home to care for her. Nydecker got married, briefly, to a local boy, but the marriage didn't last. For most of her adult life, Nydecker lived in a cabin on the riverbank and held a series of low-wage jobs. During the Depression, she worked as a library assistant and wrote for the Federal Writers Project. During the war years, she worked as a stenographer and proofreader. In the 50s, Nydecker got a job at a local hospital, sterilizing utensils and scrubbing cafeteria floors. She worked there until the year she turned 60. Only then, when she married for the second time, was she able to quit her job and devote her remaining years to writing. Though she lived far from literary circles, Laureen Nydecker had a lifelong correspondence with the poet Louis Zukofsky, one of the founding members of the Objectivists. Nydecker's sparse, careful work reflects the influence of the group, who focus on objects and on the material of language rather than on personal experiences. But Nydecker's poetry is very much her own. It's concerned with colloquial speech, dreams, and with folk traditions like Mother Goose rhymes. Her later work includes evocative descriptions of her life on Black Hawk Island, as well as history poems on subjects ranging from Thomas Jefferson to Lake Superior. Nydecker didn't publish much poetry during her lifetime. Her first book, New Goose, was privately printed in 1946, and her second, My Friend Tree, came out nearly 20 years later in Scotland. Though she began publishing more in the 1960s, Nydecker's work was never widely known, and few friends and family even knew that she wrote poetry. In 1970, at the age of 67, Laureen Nydecker had a stroke and died. After her death, the British poet Basil Bunting wrote to the Wisconsin State Journal newspaper, "Laureen Nydecker was, in the estimation of many, the most interesting woman poet America has yet produced. She was only beginning to be appreciated when she died, but I have no doubt at all that in 10 years' time, Wisconsin will know that she was its most considerable literary figure." Since that time, Nydecker has slowly come to assume a central place in 20th century American poetry. And in 2002, Laureen Nydecker's collected works were published. They were heralded as a modernist classic. The following poems are from a home recording made in 1970.
His carpets flowered. This is the William Morris poem. How we are carpet making by the river, a long dream to unroll and somehow time to pole a boat. I designed a carpet today, dog-tooth violets, and spoke to a full hall. Now that the gall of our society's corruption stains throughout. Dear Janie, I am tossed by many things. If the change would bring better art, but if it would not, oh, to be home, to sail the flood, I'm possessed and do possess, employer of labor, true, to get done the work of the hand, I'd be a rich man, had I yielded on a few points of principle. Item sabots, blouse, I work in the dye house myself. Good sport, dyeing, tapestry, wool, I like the indigo vats. I'm drawing patterns so fast. Last night in sleep I drew a sausage. Somehow I had to eat it first. Colorful shores, mouse ear, horse mint, the strawberry thief, our new chintz. Yeats saw the betterment of the workers by religion. Slow in any case, and the drying of the moon. Slow in any case as the drying of the moon. He was not understood. I rang the bell for him to sit down. Yeats left the lecture circuit, yet he could say no one so well loved as Morris. entered new waters. Study Icelandic. At home, last minute signs to post. Vetch grows here. Please do not mow. We saw it, Iceland. The end of the world rising out of the sea. Cliffs, caves like 13th century illuminations of hell mouths. Rain squalls through moonlight. Cold wet is so damned wet. Iceland's black sand. Stone buntings fly up dispersion. Sea pink and campion, a Persian carpet. Thomas Jefferson. My wife is ill, and I sit waiting for a quorum. Fast ride, his horse collapsed. Now he saddled, walked, borrowed a farmer's unbroken coat to Richmond. Richmond, house stop, Arnold's redcoats there. Elk Hill destroyed. Cornwallis carried off 30 slaves. Jefferson, were it to give them freedom, he'd have done right. Latin and Greek, my tools to understand humanity. I rode a horse away from a monarch to an enchanting philosophy. The South of France. Roman temple, simple and sublime. Maria Causeway, harpist on his mind. White arch, white column and arch. To daughter Patsy, read Livy. No person full of work was ever hysterical. No music, history, dancing. I calculate 14-1. In marriage, she will draw a blockhead. Science also, Patsy. Agreed with Adams. Send spermaceti oil to Portugal for their church candles. Light enough to banish mysteries? Three are one, and one is three, and yet the one not three, and the three not one. And send salt fish, U.S. salt fish preferred above all other. Jefferson of Patrick Henry, backwoods fiddler statesman. He spoke as Homer wrote. Henry eyed our minister at Paris. The Bill of Rights hassle, he remembers. In splendor anticipation, he thinks yet of bills of rights. True, French frills and lace for Jefferson, sword and belt, but follow the court to Fontainebleau he could not. House rent would have left him nothing to eat. He bowed to everyone he met and talked with arms folded. He could be trimmed by a 2-month migraine and yet stand up. Dear Polly, I said no frost in Virginia. The strawberries were safe. I'd have heard. I'm in that kind of correspondence with a young daughter. If they were not, now I must retract. I shrink from it. Political honors, splendid torments. If one could establish an absolute power of silence over oneself. When I set out for Monticello, my grandchildren, will they know me? How are my young chestnut trees? Hamilton and the bankers would make my country Carthage. I am abandoning the rich, their dinner parties. I shall eat my Simlins with the class of science. Or not at all. Next year, the last of labors among conflicting parties. Then, my family, we shall sow our cabbages together. Delicious flower of the acacia, or rather, Mimosa nilotica, from Mr. Lomax. Polly Jefferson, 8, had crossed to father and sister in Paris by way of London. Abigail embraced her. Adam said, in all my life, I never saw a more charming child. Death of Polly, 25. Monticello. My harpsichord, my alabaster vase, and bridal bit bound for Alexandria, Virginia. The good sea weather of retirement, the drift and suck and die down of life, but there is land. These were my passions, Monticello and the villa temples. I passed on to carpenters, bricklayers, what I knew, and to an Italian sculptor how to turn a volute on a pillar. You may approach the campus rotunda from lower to upper terrace. Cicero had levels. John Adams' eyes dimming, Tom Jefferson's rheumatism cantering. Ah, soon must Monticello be lost to debts, and Jefferson himself to death. Mind leaving, let body leave, let dome live, spherical dome and colonnade. Martha, Patsy, stay. The committee of safety must be warned. Stay youth, Anne and Ellen, all my books, the bantams and the seeds of the Seneca root. Another Thomas Jefferson inside. Winter when no flower. A Congress away from home. Love is the great good use one person makes of another. Daughter Polly of the strawberry letter. Frogs sing. Then of a sudden all their lights go out. The country moves toward violets and aconites. Darwin. His holy, slowly mulled over matter. Not all delirium of delight, as were the forests of Brazil. Species are not, it is like confessing a murder, immutable. He was often becalmed in this port desire by illness, or rested from species at billiard table. As to man, I believe man in the same predicament with other animals. Cordilleras decline. Andean peaks tossed about like the crust of a broken pie. Icy wind, higher. Harder, Chileans advised, eat onions for shortness of breath. Heavy on him. Andes miners carried up great loads, not allowed to stop for breath. Fossil bones near Santa Fe. Spider bites galled. Fever tended by an old woman. Dear Susan, I am ravenous for the sound of the pianoforte. Fitzroy blinked. Seashells on mountaintops. The laws of change rode the seas. Without the good captain, who could not concede, land could rise from the sea. Until, before his eyes, earthquake. Talcahuana Bay drained out, all water wall up from the ocean. 6 seconds, demolish the town. The will of God, let us pray. And now the Galapagos Islands, hideous black lava, the shore so hot it burned their feet through their boots. Reptile life, Melville here later said the chief sound was a hiss. 1,000 turtle monsters drive together to the water. Blood-bright crabs hunt ticks on lizards' backs. Flightless cormorants, cold sea creatures, penguins, seals here in tropical waters. Hell for Fitzroy, but for Darwin, paradise puzzle with the jigsaw gists beginning to fit. Years. Balancing probabilities. I am ill, he said, and books are slow work. Studied pigeons, barnacles, earthworms, extracted seeds from bird dung, brought home Drosera, saw insects trapped by its tentacles, the fact that a plant should secrete an acid acutely akin to the digestive fluid of an animal. Years till he published. He wrote Lyell, "Don't forget to send me the carcass of your half-bred African cat should it die." I remember, he said, those tropical nights at sea. We sat and talked on the booms. Tierra del Fuego's shining glaciers, translucent blue, clear down almost to the indigo sea. By the way, Carlyle thought it most ridiculous anyone should care whether a glacier moved a little quicker or a little slower or moved at all. Darwin sailed out of Good Success Bay to carcass conclusions. The universe, not built by brute force, but designed by laws, the details left to the working of chance, Let each man hope and believe what he can.
That was Laureen Nitecker, recorded in 1970 and used by permission of the University of California. Audio courtesy of Penn Sound, an ongoing project of the Center for Programs in Contemporary Writing at the University of Pennsylvania. Penn Sound is committed to producing new audio recordings and preserving existing audio archives. You have been listening to the Essential American Poets podcast, produced by the Poetry Foundation in collaboration with PoetryArchive.org. To learn more about Laureen Nitecker and other Essential American Poets, and to hear more poetry, go to PoetryFoundation.org.